The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
And happy Friday to you. Today's date is July 20th, 2012. You are joining us on Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports, your leader in internet media. So right now, we just have Lil Roland and myself, Dave Lockhart. Again, we want to wish you a happy Friday to you, to all our listeners out there. Roland, happy Friday to you, buddy.
Thank you. Right back at you. Can't wait for the weekend.
I can't either as well. Looks like, you know, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, as I would say. Our screen refuses to pull up.
Refuses. It's holding out for a new contract, I think.
Holding out. Well, that will not be in the need for Andrew Luck, who it looks like he has signed his deal now.
He is signed. He inked. Signed, just like RG3.
Absolutely. And he set the bar. And, again, I agree so much with the salary caps that we have now.
Yeah.
They have a $22 million fully guaranteed deal, whereas RG3 signed for $21 million fully guaranteed. So the pecking order is established. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got it settled.
And it's something that everybody can live with. What you're talking about are 2-4-year guaranteed deals that basically average out to about $5 million a year.
Yeah.
You think that's fair in light of the fact that these people have not played one down of NFL or professional football?
I think it's reasonable, seeing as how, I mean, well, just what they are. I mean, first-round draft picks, there's a certain amount of the team knowing what they can be and what they're going to be in the future. I think it's fair.
I do, too. I think it's reasonable and fair in the light of the fact that these people have not played one down in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You have to balance that against that, what we're projecting them to become,
right,
as opposed to rewarding them up front in advance compared to you have numerous veterans who have been there for years. Mm-hmm. And then when you had these rookies prior to the new salary cap, new CBA, they were making way more money well in advance of what they should be making in light of the fact they haven't played.
Yeah.
And what else are we looking at here? Before we get too far removed, we must give out our condolences and our prayers to all of the individuals touched and harmed by the shooting that mm-hmm. occurred in Aurora, Colorado. For those who don't know, it looks like another nut job madman entered a theater at the midnight showing of Batman in Aurora, Colorado, and for reasons unknown, at least at this juncture, put tear gas into the cinema and then randomly begin firing, killing, I believe it's 12 and injuring 38 people as of right now.
Killing 12?
Killing 12.
Wow.
And seriously injuring, I believe, again, 38 people. Again, our hearts, our prayers go out to those people. Mm-hmm. Want to let them know that Planet Gridiron does have a heart, and we try to stay abreast on other issues beyond just sports. But going back to what we like to talk dear to our heart again is sports. We have the British Open going on.
Yep.
And I'm not much of a golf fan. I'm not avid. How about you, Roland? You?
I follow the sport. I try to keep up, but there's just so many golfers, and you know they're in and out all the time. And every Open, there's someone else on the leaderboard that who's this guy?
I never heard it.
I mean, and there'll be a guy like Sergio Garcia that I used to see, and now where is he? Where did he go?
Yeah, exactly.
That guy.
So yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not necessarily an avid follower of golf.
Yeah.
I from afar will watch it only if Tiger Woods is in contention, and it appears he still has some work to do. He finished 6 under today, and mm-hmm. he is now 3rd overall, and they are chasing Brant Snedeker. Now, who the hell is he?
He is a guy that I've never heard of, and all of a sudden is just
10 under, right?
10 under,
exactly, 10 under. So it's going to be one heck of a chase. I don't know if Tiger. That's only 4 shots, to be honest. That's not astronomical when you're dealing with great players, to include Tiger Woods, to include what's the guy's name? He was on there, Dustin Johnson, I believe was his name. He's not appearing where we're looking right now.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we have those individuals who seem like they can do well and are going to do well.
I always look out for a lefty, but I mean he was 3 over last time I checked.
He was getting creamed, right. He was 3 over. He was tied for 99th, so he had some work to do.
Man.
And he was not expected to meet the cut, but he is, you know, which is so wild about the game of golf, which is you talked or, you know, you just mentioned lefty, Phil Mickelson, how well he played the week before. He played extremely well. and now playing like he's never picked up a pair of clubs in his life.
Right.
Or we can think about Tiger when he won the Memorial, or he won another event not too long ago, and then he goes over to West Virginia, and he and Lefty don't even make the cut. I mean, what are we talking about? Weeks apart, and yet you have these wide swings in play.
You know, we thought starting pitchers in baseball were just hot and cold and hot and cold, but people that say that haven't even seen golf.
Golf, yeah, exactly. Which makes me say it really must be that difficult. It must be. For you to play so masterfully, let's say a week, 2 weeks removed, and then you come into an event, and then you play like I would play, and you don't even make the cut.
I've never really gotten into playing golf. I just watch it, so I really don't know.
I don't play it either. I'll be honest with you. I've never taken a lesson. I probably should in my advanced age here, but nonetheless. So I do have buddies that do play. Many of them enjoy the game. They enjoy the frustration. They enjoy the attempts at mastering the game. Candidly, it looks very boring to me, and that's why I just never picked up a pair of sticks or had that much of an interest. Oh, man. So, are you watching any of the Olympic basketball?
I am, actually. I watched them play Great Britain, and I was...
Was it DR in Brazil they've also played as well?
Yeah,
right?
They played Dominican Republic in Brazil, yeah. And I couldn't believe they were down by 10 points to Brazil at one point. Can you believe that?
I am starting to see that more and more now. Can I believe it from the standpoint of you think
I
of
couldn't
dream
believe
team?
It at first. I mean, they were down 10 points.
Well, first of all, Roland, what year were you born?
95.
Okay, so you weren't even born when the original Dream Team.
No, I wasn't around in 92.
Okay. Now, if you had seen the original Dream Team, at that time, I was myself 22. Okay. And I got to see the Dream Team play. That was the first assembly, if you will, of professional talent.
Yeah. Okay. Because before they just used college players.
Just used
right?
college kids, right.
Yeah.
And then what happened was we got our butts whipped in 88 and got a bronze medal when we were led by David Robinson, actually. Then we decided that was not going to happen. We had made the decision that essentially, international basketball players were playing professionals. You had people who had been playing for years and years on the national team. So you were sending boys up against young men.
Yep.
But candidly, the gap had closed because basketball, we can all agree, is an international sport. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, you can only read about the dominance that was the first Dream Team. I actually got a chance to see it because I was here.
Yeah.
And it was destroyed. I mean, it wasn't even close.
They were winning by an average of like 38 points.
Yeah, they were winning on average 38 points. And, you know, we all had this pride. And then you had 1996, you also had the same type of deal. But kind of the luster is worn off. But more importantly, what I'm getting at is that you're not going to see, I think, that drastic of margins of victory. And not any longer, because the world has caught up. Let's be honest. I mean, for instance, Brazil. You were like, "What?"
Yeah, Brazil. I mean, they put up a hell of a fight.
They did, but they also play. Remember, an international game is what you're playing. It's different from an NBA game, and you also have pro players on that team. Remember,
yeah.
Anderson Varejão plays
yeah.
on that team.
Nene, Leandro Barbosa.
Right. So they have professional players that in fact play well in NBA. So we did win. It was it wasn't impressive. It wasn't.
No.
Okay. But the fact of the matter is we won. So at the end of the day, if you leave with a gold medal, I don't give a crap how much you went by. You only just need to have 1 point to
That's
be declared
right.
the winner. So,
that's right.
And also, let's be honest, Coach K is still trying to mix and match and get his units right. Like, for instance, this game, normally Chris Paul had been starting the first two games. This game, Deron Williams started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did good in Great Britain.
Right, and Melo came off the bench in place of, who was in place of him? I forgot who started, but someone was ahead of him who started. And you saw them blow Great Britain out of the water.
Yeah.
And you saw Luol Deng talk about how, he even shared, he said, when speaking with the guys, that his team just is not used to that type of speed and athleticism. They hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And so it was a dominating performance. I think we all can agree.
They outscored Great Britain 68-18 in the paint.
Thank you. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's not enough. That should at least address the issues that we have with concerns. We only have one true center in Chandler.
Tyson Chandler
is the only one. So, I'm, you know what's even impressive, not necessarily getting all the ink, is actually the women's basketball team. They are an extremely dominant team.
I actually watched their game against Brazil.
Okay. And you saw they dominated Great Britain again.
They scored very well.
Yeah. I look at the women's game now, in that I look at them compared to 92 team in terms of the dominance. It's not going to be close.
Well.
Yeah.
you can't compare any sports team really at this point to the 92 basketball Olympic team.
I would agree with you. You cannot, because one, it was the first. And two, they were just so dominant.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do all these kind of compare and contrast and say who would have won. 92-2012. In my opinion, I've seen both teams play. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been close. I can't say that it wouldn't be close. I think easily, though, the 92 team would beat the 2012 team.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, they had it was just a better overall team. Let's see. Well, we got the Olympics approaching. And do you have any interest at all? You know, obviously we've just spoken about USA basketball.
Yeah.
What are the sports you tend to turn your attention to during the
I usually pay attention to, you know, basketball, and I try to pay attention to swimming.
Okay.
I try, but you hear, okay, men's Olympic swimming, Michael Phelps. But what's new, Michael Phelps?
Yeah, right.
What else is new? Okay, Michael Phelps. Okay, all right. I think I'll just tune out and watch something else now.
Okay, so... Did you, I know it was 4 years ago, what are you, about 15 now?
17,
excuse me,
yeah.
That's right, 95, 17. So 4 years ago, it would have made you 13.
Yeah.
So did you at all look at
I watched some of the ones. I mean, I think I watched his first gold medal one, and after that I tuned out.
Okay, so but, you felt that, I've seen this, been there, done that.
That's what I felt like. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I was pretty impressed with his dominance, because, you know, he set out to break, obviously win 8 gold medals, that was gold, that was a training program. And he did. He accomplished his goal. I am not necessarily a swimming fan. I'm probably like you are in most of America or even the world, which is we don't tend to look at those types of sports until it's an Olympic year.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have the rise of Ryan Lochte, who swims the same events as Phelps.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's a little bit, and candidly, he's been beating, you know, Phelps up into the Olympic trials. Well, Phelps, they raced 3 times. Phelps beat him 2 out of 3.
Uh-huh.
But on a world stage in the major championships now, it has been Ryan Lochte that has been the most successful against Phelps. Now, granted, Phelps has said, I haven't been training as hard. And, you know, it was kind of like, hey, am I going to do this? Am I not? And then, you know, he's doing it, if you will. So I look forward to that. We also see the rise every Olympic year, if you will, of new infusion of talent.
Right.
And we have, I forget the young lady name. She escapes me right now. She's a high school woman. She's going to swim 8 events. So she has the possibility of 8, obviously, medals. And she will be the first. And why can't I recall her name? Why? Because we don't watch swimming. That's really why.
There you go.
But in any event, she's American. I believe she's a rising senior or is a senior headed to Cal. Following in Natalie Coughlin. I know you might not be aware of who she is.
I can't say I am.
Okay, she has been basically the female version of Phelps for the past 2 Olympics. And she just, by the skin of her teeth, made this Olympic team, so this will be her last team, and she'll be swimming only in the capacity of a leg on a relay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Natalie Coughlin. Big shout out to her. We hope that she's going to be successful and continue to carry that American pride and flag
right.
As she retires. This will be her last Olympics, as will it be Michael Phelps' final Olympics. So a lot to look forward there. I more so am interested in the track and field more than anything else. So I think we're going to approach that break right now. Thank you, Mr. Engineer. And on the backside, we're going to speak a little bit more on this Olympics. And we're going to move in, obviously, into our favorite areas of football. Stay with us. Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron, with Roland and your boy David.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop, you're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Is. This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, brought to you by Whitetails Extreme.
This week we'll have Captain Ron the Alligator Hunter, Hillbilly Hand Fishing Expert Skipper Bivens,
plus Shark Hunter Captain Leaf Potter and Sail Fishing Expert Captain Rick Brady. It's going to be a great show
when we talk about catching dangerous game in the water.
And as always, it's brought to you by Ram at RamTrucks.com.
Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back into that second segment with Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports, your leader in internet media. You know, Roland, before we went to break, we were speaking briefly about, well, I don't know if we can say briefly, but we spoke a little bit about the Olympics. And before we went to break, I was talking about how I tend to watch track and field. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you, I will watch track and field. It doesn't have to be an Olympic year. I just like it. I'm one of the few, I think, but I tend to enjoy it. I think it stems from the fact that I have a young child daughter, Mia, who runs track, and I also had the experience of running track from my high school days until my senior year of college. So I tend to follow the sport. I enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to the performances this year. Of course, for me, the headliner, Usain Bolt. But he's being challenged. That's the coolest name for a sprinter ever.
Yeah, you can't get any better than that.
Exactly, Usain Bolt.
Unless your name is Light and then Ning.
All right, or perhaps Dash.
From the, just Dash.
Just Dash, though. But yeah, I'm really excited about watching the performance, because he now has a new challenge, which is his own teammate, a gentleman by the name of Johan Blake. Johan Blake kind of erupted on the international scene in the World Championships in that he was the world champion in the he came in second, excuse me, in the 200 meters. Or no, is he world? Yeah, he's world champion in the 100, and he was second in the 200 meters to Usain Bolt, and he ran the second fastest 200 ever, 19:29. Which is smoking.
Oh, so it's just too much.
It is. And what's kind of striking about him is he's not really necessarily a big individual. In that, you know, you look at Usain Bolt, 6'5", you know, probably 205. Yeah. That's a big sprinter, big man. Johan Blake is probably a little bit maybe taller than me, if that. So that will put him around 5'9", 5'10". And he's probably around 175, 180 pounds. Now, muscular and strong, yes, but not physically intimidating.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited as to see that matchup. So countrymen against countrymen, but obviously we have love and support for our Olympians, Justin Gatlin. Are you familiar with Justin Gatlin at all?
I'm not.
Story. Okay. Justin Gatlin was the Olympic champion, I want to say, in 2000 he was. But unfortunately for him, he got popped for the drugs, and he was suspended for a great period of time, and so he's had a rebirth, if you will.
Okay.
And as joining us now in the studio is man, the myth, the legend, the man we all know and love, the Big Roland, as we call it. Roland, how you doing, big guy?
I'm doing good. Am I on here, number four?
Four on, Mr. Engineer? Good to go.
Good.
So here we go. We were talking briefly about the Olympics, if you wanted to chime in, about track and field primarily.
Uh-huh.
And the feature event is the 100-meter race, always. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were speaking about Johan Blake, the new challenger to
Usain Bolt,
his own countryman.
Yeah, he beat him twice.
Twice. He's pretty exciting sprinter. He erupted on the scene out of nowhere.
How old is he?
He is a few years. Okay, Usain Bolt is 25. He'll be 26, I think.
Is he 25? Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was older.
No, I think Johan is 22.
Oh,
22,
okay.
23, a couple years younger. But also exciting one to watch. And we were talking about that, and I was speaking briefly about Justin Gatlin. He's our national champion, won our Olympic trials.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking with Roland that he was suspended for a period of time, 4 or 5 years, for a second doping violation.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, somewhat of a rebirth for him in that he's returned, and he's returned to dominance, performing at extremely high levels.
Well, I guess 4 or 5 years of doping. You climbed it strong. When I got a test in 3 years.
The one cynical one will be it. But nonetheless, you know, we have some new, guys from the United States bursting upon the scene that will be representing us. You know, we have the new world record holder, Ashton... gentleman out of Oregon. What is the guy's name?
Why do they get faster, faster? Is it technology? Is it training?
It's the training. I think it's just improving every year.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing that in football and in all sports. I mean, everyone's getting faster, bigger, and stronger.
Yeah.
All the time.
Just from the research and training.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, they're brought up from, middle school, high school. They're brought up in the advanced, more and more advanced training procedures, I think.
Yeah.
Well, no question that you have better training. Definitely. You have better supplementation. You have better equipment that's being used. And with all of that, and understanding more and more the human body and its limits.
And you got the internet.
Absolutely.
The internet
that
helps.
The internet.
that never hurts either. But it should be an interesting Olympics as usual. We're vastly or quickly approaching it. I'm trying to find. Why can't I remember?
They ever find enough security guards?
Ashton Eaton is his name.
Ashton Eaton.
He's a new decathlon champion. I was just wanted to give a shout
decathlon.
Out. Decathlon. Yeah, he set the world record at our Olympic trials. And inside of the world record that he set in terms of points, he set the world record for the 100 meters for a decathlete. Mm-hmm. He set the world record for the long jump for a decathlete. He jumped 27 feet.
What?
27 feet is good enough to compete.
How tall is he? What does he weigh?
He's not big, if you look at him. I mean, he's, muscular, of course.
Uh-huh.
But Ashton's probably around 6 feet, 6'1", maybe.
About
200, if that, 190.
200. Oh, really?
190. Yeah, he's not overly large.
So let me ask you this. Okay, you take this guy that can jump 27 feet and run and all this stuff. Would he make a good football player?
Not necessarily so, see.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't he be a good football
because
player?
Because there's a different skill set.
He's got the tools, technically.
But athlete, ain't it?
Well, no. Yes and no. I mean, I've seen great athletes not be able to play football.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Like you can see great athletes who can play basketball and can't play football, and who can play football but can't play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's vice versa. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What you're asking him to do or her to do when they're in heptathlete or decathlon are track events that do measure athleticism.
Uh-huh.
But it's a different skill set of athleticism that you're measuring when you're asking someone to play football.
It's a mental toughness,
right,
I think.
Yeah, mental toughness, knowing the scheme, knowing what's going on the field. But don't you think if you could take this guy, set him in a classroom, pour football in his head, put him in the backfield, put him in the defensive backfield.
He may be able to do it.
He would have potential, but I'm unsure that he would be able to, after running, track and field, that he would be able to compete against other people.
Well,
in
he
such
catch
a direct
anybody.
Force.
He can jump higher than anybody.
But see, we've seen this before. Ronaldo Nehemiah comes to mind. I know you have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
Not at all. You have no idea. Because we're talking
49ers
about 70s,
it.
Right, early 80s. Okay,
yeah.
So
he was a hurdler.
You wouldn't even thought of him. He was a one-time world record holder. That held in a 110 high hurdles. His record of 12.93 stood for a long time. I mean, it was like Mount Rushmore esque, if you will.
Now he do high hurdles.
High hurdles, 110.
Now, what did Guy Drew do? Was it
who?
Guy Drew, the Canadian or French guy. He was Canadian, I believe.
Okay,
Guy Drew, remember?
French Canadian.
The French Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't recall the event that he did.
Yeah, he was a hurdler too. But, yeah. And Dwight Stone.
Well, Dwight Stone was a high jumper.
He was a high jumper who hated French Canadians. You remember he put the T-shirt off?
But size, Kuster is 6'1", 185, just to give you an idea. But, we've seen avid track guys that step over and try to play football. They don't always make an easy transition. You do have guys that run track that can play football, but they're generally football players.
They're football players, yeah.
O.J. Simpson. He was on the USC.
RG3 was a track runner.
He was a stud. Okay, I saw him in college, in high school and college. Stud. He ran the 400 meter hurdles. You're absolutely right. Stud. And in fact, at the age of 17, coming out of high school, he qualified for the finals in the Olympic trials in the 400.
Did he really?
Meters. Yes.
Wow.
And I believe as a freshman.
Well, there's an athlete.
Yes.
There's an athlete.
That's an athlete. Right.
That has football knowledge.
He has it all in
insane.
Terms of football. Yeah, insane football ability. But
how's he doing? I'm going on another page here, but how's he doing in Washington? Anybody know?
Well, he's got his easing.
He just signed
his
contract this week. From what I heard, he did well in minicamp. He was able to digest. They were able to insert more of the offense than you normally would expect at that juncture.
Right.
And he has the ability, all his teammates say, to throw the ball very well with velocity and also with touch.
Really?
And I think we observed that anyway this past year when he was slinging that sucker all over the place. So, It's going to be interesting. So let's move away from this Olympics because they're not here just yet. And let's talk a little bit about football, which is obviously the heart of the show.
Exactly.
Right.
But we have quickly approaching, obviously, camps.
Not
in
quick enough.
Yeah, and not quick enough for me, too.
Not quick enough for any of the players.
I am fiending for football, okay. Man.
We all are. We all are. I'm out there buying stuff for my kid, like getting him all
gloved
up.
Hey, we got Effie on the team.
Okay.
He's on the Tiny Mites or something like that, 5 to 6, 7-year-olds. And they got pads and helmets and all that.
I'm waiting another year for this.
I figure, how hard can they hit it?
They can't. They're not at that age. Yeah. Exactly.
The only thing I'm worried about is heat. Him out there in the pads in the heat, you know?
We're going to wait one more year before we throw my little guy in there. One more year.
Give him a little confidence.
He had such a good football season last year in flag. Mm-hmm. I just want to build on the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. I'm going to let him go. Yeah. But
truth be heard, we want him to get hit and not want to do it no more.
Something tells me that's going to work against you. That's going to backfire. But what is the deal? Roland and I briefly talked about it. All these players, once again, in trouble right before camp.
In trouble? They got too much time off. That's the matter.
There's two kinds of football players, I think. There's the kind that stay at home and either work with their family or just work. And then there are the guys that, you know, go out and enjoy their time, if you know what I mean.
And it seems to be a lot of those who are enjoying their time.
Let's just stop right
there.
Let's start talking about some of them. Okay, look, you 23, 24, 25 years old, maybe older, single, millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I was talking to a lady over there at the Cardinals, and said, remember how the teams used to leave, like, the Friday before the game and fly into Detroit or somewhere and spend Saturday there? Or was it Thursday?
Not the Cardinals. The Cardinals used to be flying in on Saturday, playing on Sunday.
Exactly. They used to go earlier, but young millionaires tend to find things to get in trouble with when they're out, when they got too much time on their hands, you know? So I think that's the thing. They got too much time on their hands.
I know that, but the problem is, why can't you conduct and control yourself? Why do we have Elvis Dumervil feeling it necessary to allegedly point a gun at someone? Why do we have allegedly Dez Bryant fighting with his mother, to the extent that she had to call the police?
His mother.
He grabbed the shirt and just
ripped the shirt and the bra.
What happened? Tell me about the story. Tell me what happened.
So you look like you've been MIA.
I have been MIA. I've been working American Auctioneers.
Here's what's going on with the Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant's mother earlier this week had to call the police and ask for police or law enforcement intervention because her son, Dez Bryant, mind you, who she's only 15 years older than.
Yeah.
Okay. Was at her house, physically assaulting her, putting his hands on her, hitting her in the face with a hat, tearing her shirt and her bra.
Has he been in trouble before?
Yes.
Has he been a problem child?
Yes.
Yes, he had problems coming into college, which is why his draft stock fell and he fell to the Cowboys.
Right.
Otherwise, he's a top five talent,
but got a 10-cent head.
Yeah.
Did he get a lot of money?
Of course he did. He was drafted still number 10 overall, I believe.
They
moved up.
All right.
He's 10 or 14.
So can you guys see, can you see the issue in mom's house right now?
I can see the issue from day one.
I'm not saying it's okay for him to put his hands on anybody, let alone his mother.
Right.
Of all people.
Who also has had some issues. She too has done a couple of prison stints and been involved in a cell.
I could just see that conversation right there.
I could
just see that. I'd know exactly what happened.
The problem is this boy, young man, has never necessarily had structure. And the foundation that his is built on, I mean, it's so much work that has to be. It's like a house built on sand.
I was just going
to
say that.
It's a house built on sand. And so now you have to try to reinforce something that may not at this juncture be able or capable of resolving. And I'm reading all these articles. And you know what? Let's hold that thought because we got only 30 seconds and this is too juicy of a topic. So stay with us.
Okay. Yeah.
Better Gridiron, Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Whoa!
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm
starting bigger, faster, stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done, and Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio here on Voice America Sports, your leader in internet media.
It just wouldn't be the same if we didn't have Mr. Roland Hill bringing
fantastic.
Us in. Thank you very much, Roll, with that auction. Hey, gentlemen, before we went to break, we were talking about Dez Bryant, okay, and the dilemma, if you will, that Dallas Cowboys have to deal with, because it appears that this guy, what do they say, idle minds and hands is the devil's workshop.
Exactly.
I've said that so many times, actually in front of judges.
Yeah.
That, you know, my client is in this situation due to that.
He ain't got nothing to do.
But then this cat.
He said, well, he won't have a whole lot to do.
Oh, yeah. She said,
he can go here and do nothing over here at the jailhouse.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're trying to ward that off for this young man because he's actually so talented. He really is.
Okay, so you are the Dallas Cowboys. You are the Cowboys. What do you do? Do you step in, grab this young man by the collar, and put him in classes? You put him in anger management. Do you step into a player's personal life and try to bring them to their senses? Do you try to develop them into a human being, not just a football player? How many games can we win? What do you do?
Well, with him, you're going to try to do everything to salvage him because he's only been in the league now going on his second year, I believe it is. Second or third year at the most. Okay, he's such an extreme talent that you want to provide him with structure and you want him to be on your team because you know if you can harness what's going on the outside, then obviously that's going to have an influence in his development on the field. And therefore, he stands.
How do they approach him? How do they get
I don't
at
know
him?
That. We
and
had
and do the teams actually do that for players?
They do. At one time, he was, in fact, being mentored by Deion Sanders, who has spent a lot of time with him, shared his thoughts with him, tried to get him on the straight and narrow. So, but it got to a point where Deion says, hands up, I'm done. This young man just refuses to listen, and I'm not going to spend any more time on this project, basically.
Really?
Yeah. He threw up his hands and said, that's it.
Need to put him with Emmett.
Well,
let Emmett knock him around a bit.
Well, I mean, either that or he's going to be wearing, you know, correctional facilities real soon on the back.
You know what?
Jumper.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's sad to say and see in light of the fact that you are, again, dealing with someone that's extremely talented. And the issue doesn't seem to be an issue of drugs. It doesn't seem to be an issue of anything of that nature. This is just, again, the fundamentals of decency.
It's an attitude that he has.
It just never has been established. But if you think about growing up in an environment potentially where your mom is 15, then you know probably ain't no dad going to be around here. All right. And unfortunately, when you have young mothers that use illicit substances, it usually means that you're going to be raised in an impoverished family.
Yes and no. Okay, so his mom's 15 years older, so I'm assuming grandma kind of took care of him.
And probably some other families.
But, okay, so mom, in a sense, has become sister.
Right. She's really his sister.
Yeah. So mom, he looks at mom like sister, probably calls her by her first name and all that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see then, well, I don't say it's okay, but I could see where he would, you know, they get into a fight with her. You know, brothers and sisters or, you know, sibling, they get into conflict. You know, I could see them in conflict.
Well, yeah.
But I can't see, you know, the violence.
Well, right. There's some issues going on here. There's some questions that need to be answered and resolved. To me,
in his family,
you need to address the issues off of the field before he even gets on the field, because this is going to be a train wreck.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So all I can say is I wish them well.
So what happens if they cut him? Somebody else grab him?
Somebody else will give
him. Where is he from?
Lufkin, Texas.
Oh, so he's close to home.
Yes.
He needs to get away. He needs to go somewhere like Seattle Minnesota.
He needs to go Minnesota. It's a small market.
Green Bay for that matter. He needs to go somewhere like that.
With a bunch of white people. That's where he needs to be.
He needs definitely some mentoring, and he needs – that's what he needs. He just needs mentoring.
Right, right.
And then he needs to be willing to accept the fact that he needs mentoring.
He's got to recognize that he has a problem, just like drinking, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
He got a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, he keep hitting that fifth of ripple. You know, that's going to put him up under there.
On his mama.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that boy.
That's kind of hard to digest there.
But, you know, a lot of kids through high school, through college, and they're really good players. Everybody's telling them, oh, they're great, they're good. They're giving them all the praise, and they fill their heads, and they feel like they are Superman. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
As far as, you know, I'm out, I'm in the club or something, don't step to me like that. I'll shoot you, you know. Do you know who I am? And they're young guys, and they believe that. They believe, do you know who I am? You know, you get our age.
Yeah,
and,
you're the dude is going to get your
exactly. We know.
Exactly.
Hey,
yeah.
It's time to go. You know what I mean?
Well, we don't go to those types of environments.
You tend
to not go to those places.
Well, we go to Walmart.
I don't
start throwing elbows.
I don't venture into that. My wife goes to Walmart, so I don't even deal with that. So you know, it's going to be interesting how that is played out with Dez Bryant, but interesting to say the least. Kind of turning the topic.
Sad. It's sad, is what it is.
Where
are you going right now?
We wanted to talk a little about. Joe Paterno, just briefly.
Okay,
We did tend to saturate it somewhat last week. I agree with Roland, so we don't need to stay that much. But frankly, I'm a little tired, if you will, of Joe Paterno's family trying to, as I call it, spit shine a turd. Okay, it's clear the more and more information that we have is that Joe Paterno knew a lot more than he let on regarding Sandusky and what he was doing.
Yeah,
I just think morally he did have some obligation to notify his higher-ups and perhaps taking a step further.
He did.
Of contacting law enforcement because he observed a crime. That's a moral decision.
He did not observe it.
He did not. He
was informed of it.
He was informed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned the information over to the powers that be.
What he was asked to do. Okay.
But what appears to have come out now is mm-hmm. that there was another meeting, if you will, where he was a part of the round table where there was a discussion about going to law enforcement. But there's information that Joe Pa said, well, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't do that because of the status of statute.
I could just hear that conversation. I can hear the conversation with Paterno and Sandusky. I can hear Paterno telling him, you know, don't do that crap around here. Don't, you know what I mean? Stop doing this. I can just
trying to cover for him.
Well, no, it's not. He wasn't trying to cover for him. I'm sure Paterno told Sandusky in no uncertain terms to don't do it. I can just hear that conversation.
Do you think there was some obligation to go beyond, though, just saying don't do it? Do you think there was an obligation on Joe Paterno's part, okay, to do more than just say, hey, I brought it to the attention of the higher-ups and whatever they decided to do was okay with me?
I think he did his job. I think he did what he was supposed to. Now, yes, were there kids being hurt and harmed and the higher-ups decided, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this? Or did if Paterno was the one that said, we don't need this kind of attention here on this program, so don't say anything, don't turn him in. If it was him that said that, then, yeah, okay, let's take down his statue.
Yes, because that's really why I wanted to have the conversation evolve somewhat into, you know, there's a lot to be discussion about whether or not you should take down the statue. We know now that there was a painting or a mural in Pennsylvania where he had a halo over his head.
And they took it down and put the bow on.
Right, they've changed that. We also know Paternoville is now being turned to change the
name
to Nittanyville.
Yeah.
You see now that the award where his alma mater is Brown University is now seeking or discussing at least removing his name.
And you know, I heard something else too. The city of Grambling, Louisiana is wanting the NCAA to vacate a few of his wins so that the grambling head coach, you know, from
Eddie Robinson.
From the FCA, Eddie Robinson's could, you know, have the record for most head coaches wins as a head coach.
You know, I think all of that is going way too far.
I do too.
That's way too far. That's cutting wood from a fallen tree. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's way too far.
Yeah.
If it is proven, if it's in fact, and you know, a lot of these guys are like, what's the guy, Graham Spanier?
Yeah.
All them guys, they are dumping on Paterno because he's not here to protect himself. They're doing whatever they can to throw as much crap on him to save their own hide.
Okay.
And you know, and you say the family coming out and trying to spit China. You know, I think what they're trying to do is protect his name.
Oh, they are. They're trying to protect the legacy that's going to be forever tarnished.
You know, and the man did do something there in Penn State.
He did.
He's done something that a lot of people...
409 wins is a lot.
Yeah, but how long was he there,
still he was over there for over 60 years.
Yeah,
he's been there.
I mean, what's a tenure at another school? You know what I'm saying? So I think that wherever it stops, quit trying to make more than there is, and wherever it stops, let's just stop and let it settle.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You know,
what is the,
I mean, if he's culpable, I mean, if it's his fault, if he was the one that stood in there and said, let's not do this, then yes, take it down. But if it's not proven.
Hey, we got Jay Wags on the line, man. Mr. Engineer, pipe Jay Wags in.
Oh, boy.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Jay Wags?
Off the top rope.
How you doing, big guy?
I'm doing okay. Off the top rope, that's next week.
Okay. What's up with North Kakalaki, man? Give us the word. We haven't heard from you for a while.
Doing all right. Well, I called in last week.
Yeah, you were here last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I wasn't here. So it's the first time I've spoken to Wags.
Yeah, he's got a pay-per-view coming up.
Oh, okay, man.
Internet pay-per-view.
Next week, if you want more information, go to the website, WWNLive.com.
Say that for me one more time.
First ever internet pay-per-view.
You broke up there.
Say that again. WWW?
It's www.WWNLive.com.
Okay, I got www.WWNLive.com.
That's correct.
All right, to all our many listeners out there, check out your boy, Jay Wags. He'll be coming off the top rope next week.
And that pay-per-view is live from Charlestown, Indiana.
From Charlestown, Indiana. You hear that, folks? So, again, Planet Gridiron, all you listeners, all you wrestler, avid wrestler fans.
How about your buddy that was here the other day?
Oh, my buddy Chris Flo Flores. We'll have him check out Jay Wags, man. So,
that's going to be a big thing Friday, and the day before that is my birthday.
Oh, happy early birthday to you, my man.
Yep.
I do appreciate it. Y'all take it easy. Right now, I would say more, but me and the family all say hey to you. But right now, we're on the road traveling down for the weekend down with my little guy. So
hey, we appreciate that you even taking time to you, your family, your little guy. Enjoy the weekend, Jay Wags.
Well, and we do appreciate that y'all saying hey to them, too. y'all take it easy. And if everything goes according to plans, just a few hours before bell time, I'll be calling y'all in next week.
All right, buddy. Everything sounds A-OK.
All right, you keep the hammer down and the sunny shot up, huh?
All right, Wags, be good. That's Jay Wags. We always got to give him a shout out. Yeah, man, Jay Wags, man, used to call all the time. So I'm glad to hear his voice and know that he's doing okay. Hopefully he'll enjoy the weekend with his family and his kid. And again, to all our listeners out there who are wrestlers.
They got to turn some AC on in here, man. Have it fast. Falling asleep.
www.WWNLive.com. Check out your boy, Jay Wags. And on that note, Mr. Engineer, take us to break so you can bring us around for that last segment. Stay with us. Rick Rowe, Little Rowe, and David. Planet Gridiron, Voice of America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
Aye,
I'm starting.
Hey,
bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about? Either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go. You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio and Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media.
The velvet teddy bear known as Rolling Hill shares that nickname with Ruben Stoddard.
Hey, you know, heard something yesterday that I knew it was coming, and it'd been in the works for a while, I'm sure, and they put their things together, their affairs in order for this moment. Every player has this day. They know this day will approach them at some point. They just don't know if it's going to be within the first 5 years or 13 years or however long they can get out of the NFL, you know, and with the NFL meaning, you know, not for long. Getting as much time out of the league as this gentleman did was truly a blessing and truly something that a lot of guys don't get to experience. And that is Joey Porter announced that he will be retiring. He has retired, holding a lot of sack records. And
he's 30th all time, right? Overall on the NFL sack record.
Yeah, is he? Yeah. He holds the records. And then he holds the records there at in Pittsburgh. He holds a few records. So, Joey Porter, how many years, do you know how many years he was in?
I don't.
Yeah,
he did the first eight, I know, with Pittsburgh.
And then Miami.
3 to 4 with Miami, and he did, what, 2 here?
He did 2 here, yeah.
So, yeah, we're talking about a 13-year career.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was quite successful. I can say that he was known as a good player.
Right.
A fierce player, one to be respected, a dominant player for a brief period of time as well. Mm-hmm. So I think he left his mark, if you will, on the NFL. And, hopefully he's done some things financially off the field that has prepared.
Oh, Christy May, sure.
Okay.
He did that.
Well, I'm glad he prepared to quit, as I call it.
We
won't be one of the horror stories that we hear so much about.
Exactly. Now, with his retirement, do you guys see Hall of Fame in his future? Was he a Hall of Fame player?
Honestly, when I say Hall of Fame, to me, it must resonate immediately, and it doesn't for me with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a good player. Can he receive some consideration? Yes. Do I think it should be arduous and serious? Candidly, no. I just don't.
He'll garner votes, but I don't. Yeah, like you said, the resonation is just not quite there.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and definitely he had a career that, hell, I would trade, you know, places with him. He had a great career. No one's saying that. And no one's not saying that he's a good player. But when you say Hall of Famer, I just don't say you mentioned that in the same sentence with a Joey Porter. I don't personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no knock on him at all.
No knock on him. Is it because of off-field antics, or would you think just on-field play?
Just overall, to me, I don't care about that, because if we did that, then O.J. Simpson, obviously, we'd be taking him out. If we're going to consider antics off of the field, Lawrence Taylor certainly would not be part of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's based upon, in my opinion, my evaluation for whatever
it's worth. Just at first thought.
Solely on what he did on the field.
Yeah.
And I try to keep it that way. Football, in terms of determining, or any Hall of Fame, I don't worry about the kind of the person off of the field. That might be bad for people to digest that, but I don't. I look at solely the play. Because I think that's really what we're judging them by. It would be nice that if all people could be good, upstanding, nice human beings, but the reality of the situation is they're probably not. And we...
You say they're probably not.
Right. They're not always great people. I mean, we all have warts, is what I'm saying. And
yeah.
I try not to be judgmental. And I think when we start looking at moral character and things of that nature, again, that would be nice for a person to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go out to a stadium to watch necessarily a nice player, a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wanting to see someone that's a superior athlete perform at the highest level.
Right, right.
That's what I pay the money for. So.
And you really don't think Joey lived up to that?
In my opinion, again, when you say Hall of Fame, I don't automatically begin to
Are you thinking of like all the highlight reels of Jerry Rice and highlight reels of Roger Craig was considered.
He's
for the
not
Hall
even
of
a Hall of Fame yet. I think he is actually a Hall of Famer though.
Really?
He should be
too. Yeah.
He was one of the first guys that got in 1,000 yard rushing and 1,000 yard receiving.
He is the first, matter of fact.
Yeah.
He's the first to do the combined 1,000 yards rushing and receiving in the same season.
Really?
I've always looked at Roger Craig as a Hall of Famer.
I think he deserves to be there.
He thought he should be there. I know I spoke with him down in Miami a couple of years ago.
I can tell you some people that are in the Hall of Fame I don't think should be in it, to be honest. You know?
Is it a popularity contest?
To some degree. You need to be engaging. People need to like you because the people that vote for you have to interact with you. And there needs to be, I think, in my opinion, some relationship, some rapport.
Mm-hmm.
In order to garner the necessary votes. If you don't have a career, let's say like a Joe Montana where, you know, or a Barry Sanders or Emmitt Smith, you knew they were going into the NFL first ballot Hall of Famers. They were no-brainers.
Uh-huh.
But when you have that kind of...
Speaking of Barry, how's his boy doing?
We'll find out. He's an incoming freshman this year at Stanford.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right.
Yes, yeah. And there is discussion and talk that he will play as a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had one, Tyler Gaffney left. He was one of the running backs. He's going to play
baseball. They have that guy, Stephon Taylor.
He's very good. I like Stephon Taylor. Yeah, he's had two back-to-back seasons of 1,000 yards. And they have a cadre of running backs that seem to do well. But he's going to be a nice infusion of talent. He has some skill sets that his father has.
Oh, really?
Never got to see Barry Sanders. Hopefully,
he's
a stud.
Damian and I go back and forth, but Damian, that's his all-time greatest. Damian Anderson, shout out to him with the Cardinal organization. He is a Barry Sanders fan. I am too. Thought during the time of the 90s when he came into the league in 89 to the time he retired, he was the best. For 10 years.
What number was he? 22?
20.
Yeah. 20.
He wore number 20.
He was number 20.
Wore number 21 in college.
He was that Detroit 20, you know.
Ergo, Damian's 20.
Damian wore 20, that's right.
He did.
That's right.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. He wore, in you, though, I think he wore 22.
He was 20 here. He was 22 here.
No, Emmitt Smith was. Remember?
Yeah, Emmitt Smith.
So he was 20 here.
Was he?
Yes. I think he wore number 20 here.
I thought he was 20.
Well, we'll dig him up.
You
know,
yeah.
We got to dig him up. Now that's kind of got it.
I tried to get Efren to wear his jersey on his team.
Uh huh.
I said, you can wear 20 like Damian.
I wore 20.
And then he said, no. And then I said, okay, 26. Then you can play like Beanie Wells. You can run the ball, and then you can be the other side. You can be. And then he said, no. He wanted 11.
Oh, he wants to. I know
he wanted 11.
Yeah, so we already 11. Know what that is.
Yeah.
He's trying to sport.
That's cool. What is he? 35.
He wears number 20.
Is that 20 at NU?
Yeah, when he was in Northwest, he wore number 20.
Right.
Okay. I actually remember. Yeah, I remember him wearing number 20.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, I think we could top it off. We got a few minutes left, very few minutes left. We can talk about briefly 2 minutes to closing the NBA free agent signings. Once again, we got Dwight Howard telling us where he ain't going to go. So the saga continues. Roland, I'll let you take us out because you mentioned off the air Jeremy Lin and that signing going to Houston. Your thoughts on the overall handling by New York and now his ending up in Houston?
I'm disappointed that he's not going back to New York. Now you got the whole insanity thing, and I was really looking forward to seeing, you know, Act 2, but now it's going to be down there in Houston. I think it takes a little luster away.
Because it's not New York, right?
Yeah.
First off, the Asian population in Houston as opposed to New York. Mm-hmm. However, New York didn't have the room, the luxury tax and all the money.
Yeah.
You know, how many stars can you have on a team?
Well, it was the way the structure of the contract worked. It's $5 million, $5 million, 14. It's a backloaded deal. So that kind of warded him off. And you're right. It's the luxury tax. And even though money is not an issue with a billionaire Dolan, it is an issue. It always is. What you have to decide at some point is this person in 3 years, in your mind, going to be worth $14.5 million? I say no.
Is he who you think he is?
I say no.
And you know at the same time, after this next year, he has a breakout year, does really good. His agent's going back in the office.
Exactly.
They're going to say, put that $14 million next year. I mean, look, the guy went to Harvard. He ain't stupid.
Yep.
You know, so they can structure that contract any way they want. You know, his buddies and them picked it apart. You know what I'm saying? And they put clauses in there that a Philadelphia lawyer can't figure out. You know what I'm saying?
Put it this way. I'll let it take it out. We wish him well.
Oh, yeah.
And the saga, and the Linsanity saga continues.
Can't
gentlemen,
wait.
We have to shut it down. It was a wonderful Friday spending at least 1 hour footage with you guys. Big Roller, Little Roller. We'll bring it back around to Voice America Sports Planet Gridiron next week. To all our many listeners out there, have a wonderful Saturday. Safe weekend and avoid going to the Batman show.
Oh,
that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah.
So, bye, y'all.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.